What do we thank the Lord? Yes. What do we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Yes. What do we thank the Lord for? His blessings, for His goodness, for His faithfulness. Come on, church. I know it's a Sunday night, but we can do better than that. Some of us could find ourselves in some gutter somewhere, in some pub somewhere, in some nightclub somewhere, but we are in the house of God, called by His name, filled with His Spirit, and have a revelation. Let us never take for granted where we are. Yes, we might not be where we want to be, but I can tell you, if you knew my testimony, I thank God that I'm not where I used to be. Amen? Is anyone grateful? Is anyone grateful that He's leading us out of darkness and into His marvelous light? God is so good, and it is a beautiful presence that we feel in this place. He's just an amazing God. We serve an amazing God. And if you don't know much about Jesus, and if you've never had a relationship, I can tell you right now, He's here and He desires to have a relationship with you. And as we sang already tonight, if you would just have an open heart, if you would just have an open heart, that's all He's seeking. And He can do more in your life in a split second than you've tried to do in your own strength over your entire lifetime. Amen? Amen. And we've been so blessed to be able to come here with my children and visit, and they kind of gapped it from me today. They didn't know who I was. They want to go fellowship with the rest of the youth. They thought, coming to lunch with us, it might have been boring. They're like, we're going to go hang out with the cool kids. But I still feel cool. I think you referred to me as a young man this morning. I was like, I'll take that. Praise the Lord. But how awesome were the kids on the rock there? Kids on the rock at 5 o'clock. That's all I remember. Kids on the rock at 5 o'clock. There's some kids in there too that looked familiar. But praise the Lord. If you have your Bible, if you just turn to the book of Genesis chapter 3, I'm just going to be starting at verse 1 to 5. And as you're looking for that scripture, I just want to once again thank your Pastor Jonathan Downs, for this opportunity to minister your word. I appreciate you and your lovely wife, Sister Downs. And for those that weren't here this morning, everywhere I go when I talk about your pastor, I say, when he was a youth president, he gave me a lot of opportunities to minister before I even had my license. And, those moments, those preaching engagements obviously helped shape me and my calling and what God is doing in my life. So I've been very blessed, to be used by God and for God using people like your pastor to give me opportunities. And I just love His Spirit, and you see it when you see all the young people being used. We've got to train them up. If we don't train them up and give them an opportunity, they'll if they want to do something, they'll find some God to serve. But we ultimately obviously want them serving Jesus. Amen. So I give honor to your pastor, give honor to your bishop, Bishop Downs, Sister Downs as well, and all the church leadership. It's just amazing what God is doing over here in Canberra. And amen. Who's ready for the word? Genesis chapter 3, starting at verse 1 to 5. It says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. And verse 5 said, For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." I'm not going to take too long tonight. I challenge someone, if they read the Word of God and they, recite or read one of his sermons verbatim, that you will see a sermon that goes longer than 10 minutes. So in saying that, for the next 3 hours, I'm simply going to talk on this thought. There is more in the midst. There is more in the midst tonight, brothers and sisters. One more time, if you just put your Bibles down and lift your voices to the heavens. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord God. Lord, from the worship service to what you're doing in these kids, Lord God, training them up. Lord Jesus, we're training them up from when they're young, that when they grow old, they will not depart from it, Lord Jesus. We just thank you for your presence that we feel in this place, Lord God. People have come, Lord Jesus, and are struggling with all sorts of things. And Heavenly Father, we just pray as we all fellowship and draw close to your word and you and your presence, Lord God, that you would speak to us one more time, Lord God. That you would minister to us one more time, Lord Jesus. Not so that we can just have some of our needs met, but Lord, yes, we might need healing tonight, but Lord, we'd rather have a relationship with the healer, Lord God. Yes, we might need a blessing tonight, but Lord, we'd rather have a relationship with the blesser, Lord. Yes, we might need some things tonight, but Lord, ultimately, above all, Lord God, we desire a relationship with you. So I just pray one more time for the ministry of your word, Lord Jesus, that it would accomplish what it set out to do, Lord Jesus, that you would use me, Lord God, that you would open up our hearts and our spiritual ears, Lord Jesus, to receive the goodness of your word, Lord. We thank you once again for what you've done this morning, but we believe in, Lord Jesus, there is more to be done, Lord God. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen. As you're seated, tap your neighbor and say, there is more. Thank you, bro. Amen, amen, amen. This is by no means. I have no political agenda behind this message. So just bear with me as I build a little bit of a introduction. But, you know, in the States right now, there's all these, all this drama that's happening right now as there's another presidential election creeping up. And, you know, it's sometimes a little bit amusing to see some of the interviews and the news reports and all that sort of stuff. And with all of this coming up, it kind of reminded me of the last election, in case you didn't notice. There's a few crazy things happening in the States. But one thing that I realized through all of that is that, you know, we discovered, some of us may know of the term fake news. Yeah, fake news. It's quite interesting that, you know, different news media stations are being accused of reporting fake news. Or reporting news in a way that support their political views. I think the media has been biased for years, even in Australia. But in all fairness, I understand, I guess, if a reporter's actions or words are influenced by his or her ideology. You know, we are humans and our behavior tends to be influenced by someone or something. You know, but it was interesting during the last election, and you're seeing it now, but people are a little bit more aware of it now. But it was interesting that some of the things that were reported on one station weren't necessarily reported on another, and so on. See, before the election of the current president, I found myself kind of watching and reading these different reports and kind of collecting as much information so that I can make my own conclusion rather than have someone else tell me what they think is the truth. You know, I wanted to gather all the information and make my own decision on what I thought was true in a way. Now, what I have concluded can easily be debated because all our views are subjective. But regardless of what is going on around the world, this is the only truth that matters anyway. Amen. The Word of God. But all of this commotion and all of this fake news, it led me to contemplate on the dangers of not having the truth or being misinformed or lacking important information. Marie Curie was a physicist and a chemist and a pioneer in the field of radioactivity. In fact, it was Curie that coined the term radioactivity, even though she did not discover the phenomenon herself. Curie's research into properties of two different uranium ores led to the discovery of radium and polonium, other radioactive elements. See, Curie undertook the arduous task of separating radium out of pitchblende ore. Now, unfortunately, Curie was unaware of the pernicious health effects of repeated unprotected radiation exposure. See, Marie continued her research and won two Nobel Prizes. She often carried test tubes containing radioactive isotopes in her pocket and stored them in her desk drawer. See, Marie Curie died on July 4th, 1934, due to a plastic anemia contracted from exposure to radiation. Due to the levels of radioactivity, her papers from the 1890s are considered too dangerous to handle. Even her cookbook is highly radioactive. They are kept in lead-lined boxes, and those who wish to consult them must wear protective clothing. See, Curie was on a quest to collect more information and data concerning these elements, but it's ironic that as she conducted her research, the key information that she was yet to discover was the most important detail she needed to know. Being uninformed or misinformed can prove fatal. Henry Cotton was a doctor in the early 1900s who believed that psychological disorders were a result of infections. Since he assumed that an infection caused these disorders, he thought that they could be treated by pulling out a patient's teeth, as they were suspected of harboring infections. If this failed to cure a patient, he sought sources of infection in the tonsils and sinuses. If a cure was not achieved after these procedures, other organs were suspected of harboring infections. Gallbladders, stomachs, spleens were suspected as the focus of infection and were removed surgically. People would voluntarily give themselves to these useless procedures because of the inaccurate information that was given to them by Henry Cotton. I'm sure they wish they had Brother Google back in the days. Now, no one ever self-diagnoses themselves, do they? I do it all the time. I repent. But on the 23rd of July, 1983, Air Canada Flight 143, a Boeing 767, ran out of fuel at 41,000 feet or 12,000 meters altitude, about halfway through its flight from Montreal to Edmonton. The crew managed to glide the aircraft safely to an emergency landing in Gimbley Industrial Park Airport. This was some challenge. No fuel means no engines. No engines mean no electronics, no steerage, no navigation. See, an emergency propeller-driven dynamo dropped down on an arm under the plane to produce a basic power for steerage. Navigation had to be by sight or calculation of speed. But amazingly, there were no fatalities. See, the first error was that the fuel tank gauge wasn't working. It was to be replaced in Edmonton. The second error was a maths error. The ground crew filled the tanks according to their records. The fuel requirements were assumed to be in liters, but they had been recorded in gallons. So what am I trying to say? And what does this have to do with the scripture we just read? You see, with the illustrations I just used with Marie Curie and her ignorance to the dangers of exposure to radioactivity or Henry Cotton and his misguided belief that psychological disorders were a result of infections, or the miscalculations of the crew that refueled the Canadian airline, one thing was obvious. It's important to have the right information and to never take for granted the finer details. Amen. See, as Eve was going back and forth with the serpent, Satan asked her if she could eat of the trees of the garden. So Eve said she could eat of the trees except for the tree that was in the midst or in the middle of the garden. She was referring to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that God had instructed her and Adam to stay away from. Yet this simple statement to me is taken out of context and speaks to me a lot of the mindset of Eve. See, you see, even though this may be true in some sense, her statement wasn't totally accurate. Yes, God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, and yes, God did tell Adam and Eve not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But what Eve said was still inaccurate, because God didn't necessarily say that they should not eat of the tree in the midst. Because, brothers and sisters, let me remind you tonight that the tree of life was also in the midst of the garden. For Genesis 2 and 9 says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge in good and evil. See, what may seem to be a slip of concentration on Eve's behalf is more an indication of where Eve's focus is. There is no throwaway lines in the Bible, amen. What it says to me is that Eve is more focused on what she can't have rather than what she can have. Her focus is on the wrong tree. But I simply want to encourage someone tonight that there is more in the midst. Amen. Amen. Who believes there is more in the midst? See, many years ago, two salesmen were sent by a British shoe manufacturer to Africa to investigate and report back on market potential. The first salesman reported back, "There's no potential here. Nobody wears shoes." The second salesman reported back, "There is massive potential here. Nobody wears shoes." This simple short story provides one of the best examples of how a single situation may be viewed in two different ways, negatively or positively. And I simply have a word for someone tonight, that there is more in the midst. Yes, the world may think that there's nothing positive about living for God because it's full of things that you can't do. Young people, I know sometimes they are drawn away because of the thou shalt not. But I simply want to encourage someone that there is more in the midst tonight, amen. There is the tree of life, amen. There is a relationship with God. There is a peace, a joy, an unspeakable joy that you can experience tonight, because there is more in the midst, amen. Christianity isn't just about that thou shalt not do this or thou shalt not do that. Yes, I am not allowed to eat of the tree of the knowledge in good and evil. But there is a tree of life. There is something that God wants you to experience. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. There's a revelation. There's a spirit that he wants to fill you with tonight. If you would just focus on the right tree. For there is more in the midst. Amen. There is more in the midst. There are blessings that God wants to give each and every one of us, and he wants us to experience. But it's usually ourselves, we rob ourselves of the opportunity to experience his blessings. Amen. a story called The Prayer of Jabez. Says, have you heard of the story of Mr. Jones, who dies and goes to heaven? When he arrives, St. Peter is waiting at the pearly gates and takes Mr. Jones on a tour of heaven. Mr. Jones is awestruck. The streets are paved with gold. Beautiful mansions glistened in the sunshine. Choirs of angels sing the most beautiful songs. Partway through his tour of heaven, Mr. Jones' eye is drawn to an odd-looking building, an enormous warehouse with no windows and just one door. What an odd structure for heaven. You don't really want to see what is in there, says St. Peter. But I do, says Mr. Jones. He races across the lawn and pushes open the door to discover rows and rows of shelves, floor to ceiling. Stacked on the shelves are thousands of white boxes. The boxes all have names on them. Is there one with my name on it? Asks Mr. Jones, and he rushes to the J aisle. He finds the box with his name on it and opens it up. His mouth drops. His pulse quickens. And finally he says to Peter, what are all these wonderful things inside my box? Are they the good things in store for me now I've reached heaven? No, replies St. Peter. They're all the blessings God wanted to give you while you are alive on earth, but which you never received. A sad look came over Mr. Jones. He looked inside the box to St. Peter and then back to the box. Why? He asked St. Peter. Why did I miss all these things? Well, that's a long story, replied St. Peter. But many of us here could examine ourselves, I'm sure, if we were really honest with ourselves, of where we were at, we know very well there is more God wants us to experience. But sometimes it's our own actions that is hindering us. Why? Because we're so focused on the things that we can't have. We're so distracted by the things of this world, young people. Especially, and I shared to them on Friday that the youth ministry will be going on a break over the school holidays. And there is a strong possibility where you will be tempted. There is a strong possibility where things of the world will try to tempt you away from the things of God. I simply want to encourage some young person tonight. There is more in the midst. There is the tree of life and things that God wants you to experience. We haven't even scratched the surface. If I was honest with myself, and I'm honest with all of you, I haven't even scratched the surface with what God wants me to experience here on earth. Dimensions of my relationship with Jesus, there are still untapped potential, untapped dimensions in my relationship with Jesus. And I'll be the first one to put my hand up. But I made up in my mind a long time ago that I'm going to seek the things of God no matter what. Like I said earlier, I might not be where I want to be, but I thank God I'm not where I used to be. Amen. There is more in the midst. Why don't we just lift our voices for a moment and just thank the Lord. Why don't you thank the Lord for what you do have? I'm not finished, but let's just take this break just to lift our voices and thank God for the things that we take for granted. If you've got clothes on your back, a roof over your head, food on the table, then you've got plenty of things to be grateful for. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, we might not have that flashy car that you might see people post pictures of on Instagram. I'm not knocking Instagram, by the way, so. But I might not have all these flashy houses, but at least I know that my God is a provider. Amen. For Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Yes, I might be feeling weak in my body at times, but at least I thank God that he is my strength. For in Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Amen. Yes, I might be focused on some of the chaos that is going on around me, but I thank God that he's my peace. For Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Amen. There is more in the midst. There is more that God wants you and I to experience tonight. There is more that God wants us to experience in our relationship with him. Amen. But I know how it is. I'm not perfect. Sorry, if you were expecting a perfect, you're probably the chief sinners of all you've invited to your church. From POS, but I'm not perfect, and I know I'm human, and I know sometimes that we can get distracted by this thing called life. We get distracted with mortgage, trying to make enough, houses, kids, you know, distractions, but I love you. But there are plenty of things that may try to grab our attention, but I simply want to encourage someone. There is more in the midst tonight. Amen. There is more that God wants us to experience. The Church Calvary Chapel of Canberra, you haven't even seen the best yet. There is more that God wants you to experience. There are still souls out there that don't know Jesus Christ that are still yet to walk through these doors and experience the power of God. Amen. There is more in the midst. Jesus wants to pour out blessings that we can't even contain. Amen. Just your church actually is a great testimony of blessings, by the way. Just everything that God is doing in this church and just adding to the church and extensions on extensions. Soon you're going to have to put another floor, another car park. You know why? That's because you have leadership that are hungry for more, that want to see God move, that understand that there's more in the midst, not just satisfied with where we at in a way, but know that there's so much more that God wants us to experience. Amen. Yet again, we rob ourselves. We rob ourselves. See, his hand has anointed and blessed your pastor. He has anointed and blessed your music ministry. He has blessed your church with finances, but we haven't seen anything yet. Amen. You have still got more to come. There is more in the midst tonight. There are still more blessings to come for Calvary Chapel. There are still more blessings to come in the work in Canberra. Amen. See, I believe Eve missed out on so much because of that one statement that revealed her attitude. That one declaration which took God's word out of context. She was the first one to share fake news. See, two men had an argument to settle the matter. They went to a judge for arbitration. The plaintiff made his case. He was very eloquent and persuasive in his reasoning. When he finished, the judge nodded in approval and said, "That's right, that's right." On hearing this, the defendant jumped up and said, "Wait a second, judge, you haven't even heard my side of the case yet." So the judge told the defendant to state his case. And he too was very persuasive and eloquent. When he finished, the judge said, "That's right, that's right." When the clerk of the court heard this, he jumped up and said, "Judge, they both can't be right." The judge looked at the clerk of the court and said, "That's right, that's right." Not all truth is relevant, brothers and sisters. There is one truth that we stand upon. Amen. What's true for you doesn't necessarily mean that's true for me. That's garbage. Amen. Truth is truth. And there is dangers when we take this truth out of context. As we see in Eve's statement, God's word is truth. And it must be taken for what it is. Amen? We can't take anything away from it, nor can we add anything to it. The moment we take it out of context is the moment we risk losing what Jesus has in store for us. Why don't we stand? Why don't we stand? Short, straight to the point. Plus, my nose is all running. Acts 2:38-39. We all know these scriptures, the salvation message. It said, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now, there have been people that have twisted this, that have tried to take this out of context or misinterpret this. But like I said, we've got to take God's word for what it is. Amen? Either this is true or it's not. If this is your first time and you feel the presence of God in this place, I just want to bring your attention to this scripture. Repenting, is it an option? We know it isn't. Being baptized in Jesus' name, do we know? Is it a choice? Yeah, it is a choice. But it's absolutely vital for our salvation. I'm just telling it how it is and what the scripture says. Even if I'm speaking to one person, I know that, you know, many of us are here already saved. We repent, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. But not everyone has repented and been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. There is more in the midst. If God is speaking to you and you are honest with yourself, sometimes there's all these, again, legion, maybe this part two of today's sermon. There's a legion of excuses that has hindered us from experiencing the love of God and the mercies of God. I want to encourage you tonight to push through. God has something for you tonight. If you feel something on your heart, if you feel the presence of God, I'm here to assure you that's the love of God that you feel drawing you unto repentance. You might have been here for, you might have been in church for 20, 30, 40 years. I know what it's like. Sometimes we don't necessarily think of the things that we can't do, but we kind of dwell on the things that we don't have. I want to encourage you tonight that there is more in the midst. There's nothing wrong with being honest and transparent and saying, "Sorry, Lord, I've focused on the wrong things. Bring my attention, lining back up to your will." Why don't we just lift our voices? Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your word tonight speaking to us, Lord. Lord, you've been so good to us, oh Lord God. Lord, you've been so faithful, Lord. And Lord, sometimes we might find ourselves, Lord God, in a slip of concentration and focusing on the wrong things. But Lord, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace, Lord Jesus, and continuing, Lord Jesus, to reach out to us, Lord, allowing us the grace, Lord Jesus, to refocus on the things of God and to be thankful for what we have in you, oh Lord Jesus. So we thank you, Lord Jesus. We're believing, Lord God, in great miracles that are still yet to come. We are believing on you for a manifestation of your power, Lord Jesus. We are believing that there's more in the midst, Lord God, that you want us to experience, that we haven't even scratched the surface yet, oh Lord God, in what you want to do in our lives, in what you want to do in this church. There is more in the midst, Lord God, that you want us to experience. Lord, continue to use us, Lord Jesus, to reach out to those that are still out there, Lord God, lost, Lord Jesus, to draw them in, Lord God, to let them know that there is a tree of life, Lord God, that is waiting for them to partake on the goodness of God, Lord Jesus. They still need to experience your love, Lord God, your mercy, your grace. Lord, we thank you for the truth of your word, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, that we have leaders that teach and preach your word in truth and do not alter it, do not misinterpret it. But Lord Jesus, they love the truth, Lord God. Let us love the truth tonight and sell it not. As we give you all the glory and all the honor. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I just want to open up this altar. Come and spend some time with the Lord. I want to encourage you, if you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, God can fill you with His Spirit tonight. You can be filled with the power of God. Yes, you can pray in your seats. Yes, you can pray in your seats. God can minister to you. There's some power when you take that step of faith out of your seat. Yes, you may be experiencing fear and doubt and anxiety, but there's some power in it. There's something in it when you step out. It's like you saying that no matter what I'm feeling right now, what I want from God is so much greater. So if you need the gift of the Holy Ghost, please let us know, the altar workers know, the leadership know, so we can pray for you, so you can be filled with the power of God tonight, for there is more in the midst.